Hi, I'm Marion McPartland. My guest today on Piano Jazz is Larry Willis. He's an all-around musician, a swinging pianist, composer, arranger, and musical director. Larry's playing is lyrical, relaxed, and best of all, fun to listen to.
Thank you so much.
Hi, Larry.
Hi, Marion.
How are you doing?
I'm doing just great.
Oh, that's good to hear. I have a question for you.
Yes.
What is Maple Shade Records? That's something you were very involved with.
Yes.
I'm curious about that.
Yes. I started my involvement with Maple Shade Records, I guess, in the late 80s, early 90s. And it's a wonderful combination of a lot of things. You know, not only is it a record company, it makes audiophile hardware, and it records a lot of different kinds of music, ranging from Celtic jazz to European classical music to bebop to opera, a lot of different things. And my piano teacher always used to impress upon me the need to approach music from an eclectic mindset. And it's been a lot of fun.
Well, I would think in order to be so busy with Maple Shade, you had to know millions of styles and different forms of music. How did you actually get started playing?
Well, I went to the High School of Music and Art here in New York City, actually as a voice major. And I had aspirations of being a classical singer, which dissipated very, very quickly once I met some young players who were high school mates of mine who were playing in Marshall Brown's Newport Youth Band.
Oh, Marshall Brown.
Yes.
I remember him.
Yes. And there were people like Jimmy Owens and Eddie Gomez in particular. And they sort of started, hearing them, I got excited about the music, first of all. And then growing up on the block that I, you know, this is, goes back to the days of hi-fi, my brother, who was a pianist, also was a big record collector. And he had a friend who brought over a Miles Davis record called Kind of Blue. And it changed my life forever.
Really?
Yes.
I think it changed a lot of lives.
I am sure that it did.
And that really got you into piano playing.
Yes. And my brother, you know, there was a piano in the house all the time because my brother played.
So you really didn't have lessons. You just taught yourself.
I basically taught myself.
Listening, I guess.
Yes. Actually, until I got into Manhattan School of Music, and I met a friend who would become friends and brothers, a trumpet player from South Africa by the name of Hugh Masekela.
Oh, yes, I remember him well.
And he introduced me to a gentleman whom he met in South Africa by the name of John Mahigan.
Oh, of all people.
Yes, and that John was my first and only piano teacher.
God, I knew John for years because he would play solo piano opposite me at the Hickory House.
At the Hickory House, yes.
John was funny.
Oh, yes.
I remember I was playing one night, I was playing a ballad, and he came running through the club hollering out, "No, no, 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 it should be a flatted fifth."
Nah, that was...
in front of all the people.
Yes.
He gave me some
very, very good advice that I keep in my forefront. He said, "Larry, the piano is the most complicated piece of machinery man ever invented." And I asked him why, and he said, "Well, for starters, every time you sit down at this instrument, the odds are always 88 to 10, and they don't get any better."
Very good philosophy.
Yes, it is.
Well, how about trying out the piano and play something for us? It would be lovely to hear you.
Okay. It would be my delight. Thank you.
So, what do you think?
What about It Could Happen to You?
That's a great tune.
Yes.
Terrific.
Oh, thank you, Marianne.
It's such a nice tune.
It is a great song. Absolutely great song.
You played with some mighty fine people with Dizzy and Cannonball.
Yes.
And Carmen McRae and Carla Bley. She's really far out, isn't she?
Yes, she is. I had one of the greatest musical experiences playing with her. She's such a great composer. And when she called me to play with her, I didn't know what to expect. But she had put together quite a magnificent band with Victor Lewis and Steve Swallow. And it was just an enjoyable experience. And playing with Carla, you have to have a tremendous amount of discipline because you just can't go off on a tangent with her. She has absolute ideas about what she wants to hear. But she does not necessarily completely, certainly not completely in any sense, restrict what you're capable of doing. And it was a lot of fun. She's a very interesting composer, very interesting player, and very interesting person.
And Steve, she always had Steve Swallow.
Yes.
He worked with me, too.
Oh, what a great bassist.
And a funny guy.
And a very funny guy. And his wry sense of humor way is just incredible.
Yeah, that's one thing. Jazz has got to have humor.
It does. It does. It does.
I remember we were working together one time, and we were crossing the street, and he took my arm, and I said, thanks. He says, well, you're my meal ticket, you know.
That sounds like Steve.
Yeah. So, pretty funny.
Yes.
You worked for a long time with Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
That's right. 7 years. That was fun. For whatever one wants to call, however they choose to label that period or that style of music, I thought it was the best of it. Here again, one of the magical things about that band was its eclecticism. And it drew from so many different elements. You could hear some bebop, you could hear some Erik Satie, you hear so many different elements. And the musicianship in that band was very, very, very high for a band that had that much success on a commercial level. And I got a chance to see a lot of the world because we traveled a lot, and it was a great experience.
Well, I think that's one of the finest, I guess you have to call it, a pop group.
Yes.
I still hear it played now and again.
Yes.
You should keep playing it.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, I think it's time to hear you play another tune, if you could.
Okay, I would love to.
All right.
This is one of my favorite ballads. I heard Billy Eckstine sing this as a child, and it just sort of stayed with me. And it's called Everything I Have Is Yours.
Oh, yeah, that was a great hit for Billy.
Yes, it was. Well, okay. Thank you.
beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you.
I always love it when people end the tune sort of in a different key. It's so beautiful. You ended on an F sharp.
Yes.
And it just does something for the tune somehow.
Well, I remember Miles Davis once saying, the notes that you pick to play, the chords that you play, are there to fertilize the music.
To fertilize it?
Yes.
I love that.
He says it's like putting lemon on fish.
I never heard that.
Yes.
That's great.
And he never liked ending things on the tonic, on the one, because he felt that it absolutely stopped the music there. And in playing, ending on another chord, ending on another sound, you still had a continuum of the music going on in your ear. And I think that's a nice approach.
It is, and it's very sensible.
Yes.
And I never heard the word fertilization used before. That's that's great.
Yes.
That's great. Well, we'll have more in a minute with my guest, Larry Willis. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. Well, what do you say we try a duet?
Absolutely.
Should we sort of talk about it, or should we wing it?
Wing it. Wing it. I like surprises.
Well, what could we play that we would both like?
Why don't we try Alone Together?
I think that's a great idea.
Okay. Thank you.
okay?
Yes.
I meant to ask you while we were playing that tune, haven't you done a lot of symphonic arrangements?
Yes.
I was thinking that tune would go nicely.
Absolutely. I want to do more of that and hopefully down the line incorporate more of the material that we know. Up until now, I've done some string writing for John Hicks, for Roy Hargrove, and people like that.
Oh, that must be fun, because he's such a beautiful...
Yes, yeah. Roy did a record with strings, that I shared some of the arranging duties with Gil Goldstein and Cedar Walton. And that was a lot of fun. And hopefully one day, you know, I can do more writing in that area and incorporate more of standard jazz repertoire than just, you know, things that I write or that I, you know, that come through me. But hopefully it will improve, you know, and get, you know, it's something that I really enjoy doing.
That would be really nice. Well, I guess it's my turn.
Yes.
To play a tune. And I thought of a nice ballad that I haven't played in a long time. Too Late Now.
Oh, what a gorgeous song.
All right. Thank you.
Marion, I don't know how you do it, but you get such a great sound out of the instrument. It's remarkable. You know, I've always loved to just listen to your approach to the keyboard.
Great
sound.
Thank you very much. I was thinking of you saying, fertilizing the music.
Well, I have to attribute that to Miles. He thought of that first, and it just registered very, very loudly with me.
Well, it's great. And I'm wondering if Miles ever played that tune Too Late Now. I'm trying to think where I first heard it. I think probably a singer, somebody like Peggy Lee. I don't know where I got it, but I don't know.
It's just gorgeous. So certainly, you know, the way you play it is just fantastic. And I like the change of keys.
Don't you learn tunes by ear? I mean, you don't get the sheet music, do you?
Well, sometimes I do, and sometimes I don't. It is my little theory that if you can't hear it, you're not going to play it well and make it come out as music. So it has to go in your ears first. Even if you're sight reading it, you know, if it doesn't compute in your ear, if it doesn't sound right to you, then there's no point in playing it, because you're going to struggle, I believe, to make music out of it.
Well, I'm such a lousy reader, I pretty much have to.
I am too.
But I pretty much have to. I think I started learning tunes off the BBC years ago in England. And I had a boyfriend who came over to the house and brought records by Benny Goodman and Duke and everybody. So I just had a chance to learn all these tunes just by ear.
That's basically the way I learn songs, you know. And one of the things that has sort of bothered me, I used to like to go to the movies a lot. And there were such great songs that came out of movies. There were motion picture themes, like, for example, Laura, or On Green Dolphin Street. I don't hear that anymore. And, you know, most of the things that I hear from movies are basically no more than highfalutin sound effects or special effects.
Yes, it's
and
true.
And I miss hearing songs that come from movies. You know, one of my favorite composers, for example, is Michel Legrand. And he wrote such marvelous, and Mancini as well, wrote
marvelous
tunes. Music that came for movies that ended up sticking, you know, as great songs.
Yeah, we could do a whole afternoon of
that's right.
of songs by movie songs.
Yes.
And that wouldn't be bad at all.
No.
Well, there's more music coming up with Larry Willis. I'm Marion McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR.